Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Nathan Parker's The Buy, Borrow, Die Strategy. Without Millions is a personal finance and tax strategy book focused on a wealth-building method associated with the affluent buy. Appreciating assets, borrow against them rather than selling, and preserve the assets until death so heirs may benefit from a stepped-up basis. The book is positioned as an accessible explanation of a technique often discussed in relation to real estate, stocks, business equity, and life insurance, with an emphasis on legal tax avoidance rather than tax evasion. Its stated purpose is to show readers how debt can function as leverage instead of liability when used carefully, and how long-term ownership can reduce capital gains exposure. Based on the available description and reviews, the book combines strategic finance concepts with estate planning ideas such as trusts and wills. It is aimed at readers who want a conceptual framework for preserving and transferring wealth, not a basic primer on budgeting or investing. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the buy, borrow, die model as a legal tax minimization framework. The central idea of the book is the three-part buy, borrow, die structure. First, the investor buys assets with long-term appreciation potential. Second, instead of liquidating those assets, the investor borrows against them. Third, the assets are held until death, when heirs may receive a stepped-up basis. The significance of this framework is that it attempts to separate spending power from taxable realization events. In practice, the book presents the strategy as a way to access liquidity without triggering capital gains tax, because debt proceeds are not treated as income in the same way asset sales are. That distinction is the intellectual core of the book. It explains why wealthy households often preserve ownership rather than cash out. The book frames this not as a loophole in the illegal sense, but as a lawful use of existing tax rules. Readers are therefore introduced to a model of wealth management that depends less on earning wages and more on controlling asset ownership over time. Secondly, using appreciated assets as collateral instead of selling them. A major practical theme in the book is the idea that appreciating assets can be treated as collateral for borrowing. The book discusses homes, stocks, and even life insurance as possible leverage tools, which points to a broader lesson: asset ownership can produce utility beyond simple resale value. If an asset rises in value, the owner may be able to borrow against that growth while continuing to benefit from future appreciation. That is what makes the strategy attractive to high net worth investors. Selling would end future upside and usually create a tax event, while borrowing keeps the asset intact. The book uses this logic to show how liquidity can be generated without disrupting a long-term portfolio. This matters because many people think wealth is only usable after liquidation, but the book argues that the wealthy often monetize assets indirectly. The technique depends on careful lender relationships, sufficient collateral, and assets that are expected to keep appreciating enough to support the loan structure. Thirdly, debt as a tool for preservation, not consumption. The book's treatment of debt is a defining feature because it reverses a common personal finance assumption. Instead of presenting debt only as a burden, Parker describes a form of good debt that can help preserve wealth and reduce tax exposure. This distinction is essential to the book's logic. Borrowing is not framed as reckless leverage for short-term spending, but as a mechanism for maintaining ownership while still creating access to cash. That means debt becomes part of a long-term capital structure rather than a consumer expense. The description of the book also emphasizes risk management, including ways to avoid over-leveraging and to withstand market downturns. This is important because the strategy fails if borrowing becomes too large relative to the value of the underlying assets. In other words, the book does not simply celebrate debt. It tries to show when debt can be productive and how discipline protects the strategy from becoming dangerous. That makes the debt discussion more structural than motivational. Fourthly, estate planning and the stepped-up basis as the endgame. The die portion of the strategy is not presented as a morbid slogan but as an estate planning mechanism. The book draws on the well-known tax principle that inherited assets may receive a stepped-up basis, which can reduce or eliminate capital gains tax on prior appreciation. This is what makes long-term holdings so powerful in the strategy's logic. Gains are not necessarily taxed during the original owner's lifetime if the owner never sells. The book also references tools such as living trusts and wills, suggesting that wealth transfer is not accidental but planned. This widens the discussion beyond investing into intergenerational asset management. The practical point is that wealth preservation depends on how assets are titled, how liabilities are structured, and how heirs receive property. By tying the strategy to estate planning, the book shows that taxation is only one part of the equation. The transfer of wealth, legal control, and family continuity are all part of the same design. Lastly, risk, discipline, and the limits of applying the strategy. Although the book is framed as a guide to wealth creation, The available reviews and summaries make clear that it also depends on caution. The strategy requires patience, asset growth, and disciplined borrowing, which means it is not a quick fix or a universal solution. If markets fall, or if debt grows faster than the value of the collateral, the structure becomes fragile. The book, therefore, appears to include discussion of overleveraging, market volatility, and the importance of using debt carefully. It also implicitly depends on access to favorable lending terms, which is much easier when a person already has meaningful assets. That limitation matters because the title suggests accessibility without millions, but the underlying mechanics still favor those who can build collateral over time. As a result, the book is best understood as a conceptual guide to advanced wealth planning rather than a complete personal finance manual. Its value lies in showing how the wealthy think about risk, timing, and control, even if readers must adapt those ideas cautiously and with professional advice. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand how wealthier households use assets, borrowing, and estate planning to reduce taxes and preserve capital over long periods. It will be especially useful for investors, real estate owners, small business owners, and readers who already know the basics of saving and want a more advanced framework for thinking about leverage and tax efficiency. The main benefit is conceptual. It explains why selling is often the least attractive move for people whose assets continue to appreciate, and why debt can function as a liquidity tool when managed conservatively. Compared with many books in the personal finance category, it is narrower and more strategy-driven. Rather than offering broad budgeting advice, it focuses on one advanced structure and its implications for taxation, inheritance, and long-term ownership. That specialization is what makes it stand out. It gives readers a clearer view of the logic behind wealthy behavior, while also reminding them that the strategy depends on discipline, adequate collateral, and careful planning. For readers interested in tax-aware wealth preservation, it offers a focused and practical lens. If you would like to support Nathan Parker, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.